You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Again on BTR, so you can find us here on the Blog Talk Radio platform, clnsmedia.com. We have the stream going there. You can also call us at 347-215-7771. After the Celtics edge out the Hornets 107-106, it didn't look good for stretches of that game. But then, when you get down to the bottom half of the worst team in basketball, which is what I view the Charlotte Hornets as this year, and the great depth of the draft class that we just saw here in 2019, we will witness one of the great 15th man battles of all time toward the end of this one, and that's what propelled the Celtics to victory. 8-for-8 combined shooting to come off the bench for Taco Fall and Javonte Green, who was really the star of the two. Taco did his thing with the block shots. The crowd went nuts when he came into the game, and he laid in a few shots around the rim, dunked over a fool on an offensive rebound, and, you know, the Ahmed Hills and Martin brothers of the world weren't able to keep up with him, and Javonte Green, who was really the surprising one, Taylor, because we might as well get this out of the way first. I know there's people who love this, and I know there's people who hate this, but this is going to be really fun for the whole entire preseason, watching these two guys go at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's one of the most, you know, sought after position battles on this team, but that 15th spot is important. And obviously we saw the hype that Taco had all summer long after he signed with this season. You know, he became almost like a star athlete in Boston overnight, just because of his height, because of how well he played in summer league. I think he surprised a lot of people with how well he moves up and down the court. Tonight, you and I were watching the game and we were just commenting on the fact that he's not slow and he looks comfortable moving around in a pretty normal basketball capacity, which is surprising given his stature. But I think this battle between these two guys, Javonte Green showed that he has crazy bounce, you know, dunking from all over tonight. And then Taco's size is just overwhelming. A couple times tonight he gets posted up and all he has to do is lean backwards on a defender and he's got the entire rim, you know, open. So I think it'll be interesting. I think it's fun. There's other stuff that I'm more interested in, but it is a fun part of this preseason for us.
The crowd was going nuts. It really sounded like a playoff game in there for these two guys dunking at the rim and just catching passes while, you know, the guys on the other team are
right,
going hard because they're trying to make that Charlotte roster. But these guys, and the way the Boston crowd was reacting made it look like, I don't know, the last playoff spot was on the line.
Yeah, I think it's. I think you're going to have that. Like I said, Taco got a lot of publicity this summer. I mean, I've seen pictures of him doing swim lessons. I've seen pictures of him out in the community doing stuff. So he's really integrating himself into the mesh of this, you know, the Celtics community. Obviously, his spot isn't guaranteed. But if I'm leaning one way or the other right now, and I'm interested to see what you think, I think Taco has a much higher chance of making this team than Green does.
So this, I've talked to a few people in the media who are frustrated by all the noise. And, you know, Max over at Celtics Blog was talking about how uncomfortable it is a little bit of it, too. You know, people in the crowd dancing around in, like, Taco costumes and just the, you know, endearing aspect of this, which I'm not so much down on. It looks like Taco's having a fun time with it, and, you know, he's getting money out of this and all the rest. You know, he's going to find an opportunity out of this, too. And like you said, it's not like he's out there struggling. He's out there killing it in the minutes that he does play it. So I don't see anything wrong with any of this. You know, it's the 15th spot on the roster. The funny thing is, this time of year, we always clamor so much about that 15th spot and who's going to get it and what they're going to bring to the table. And then at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. Even when you leave it open, as the Celtics sometimes like to do. Greg Monroe came in midseason about 2-3 years ago. And, you know, he was fine in that playoff run. He had a big role in that comeback against Philadelphia. But, you know, he didn't make or break that team. Jonathan Gibson joined the last year, I think it was, and he didn't do too much of anything. So I don't think it ever ends up mattering. So if you can have a guy who drums up excitement around the team and is able to go in there and keep the crowd in their seats for the last 3 minutes, you know, sports are fun. And I think if anyone's going to try to knock the fun of sports, they're not fun.
Absolutely. And the fact of the matter is he's so I don't understand any harm in taking a flyer on a guy like that, because I don't want to over-exaggerate his talent. Obviously, it's limited, but he's not completely lost out there. You see some things from him that make you think that he can contribute. He can put the ball in the basket. I mean, he stepped up to the free throw line tonight, and he doesn't look horrible. He looks comfortable playing basketball, and I think that's huge. Because like you said, it's a win-win if you can sell those tickets, if you can get those people staying in their seats for the whole game just to see this guy coming off the bench in those final minutes, those garbage time minutes. That's big for this team.
And here's the thing. What are you going to use Green for at the end of the day? That's what I was asking myself at the end of the game here. It was awesome to see him dunk the way he did and make those cuts and, you know, throw down that crazy reverse slam off Waters there. But in what situation are they going to go down and call for him? Injury, maybe?
They have
plenty of wings out there already.
Right.
Semi Ojeley was one of the first guys to get rotated into the game after Brad Wanamaker and Kanter and Smart. I think he was the fourth. So he's going to play a big role out there on the wing, too. So here's the thing. When are they going to use Green if they stick with him? Maybe he becomes a developmental guy. Maybe he plays in the G League a little bit and helps that system and what they're doing out there. Here's the thing about Taco. He's created the leverage with the hype and everything else where they're not going to be able to use him on a two-way spot. You know, he's going to make that $1 million somewhere else because a team will take him for what he's providing here and the hope of what a 7'5" player can give you, because with the new measurements today, not 7'6",
right,
7'5",
right,
and
right.
He disputed it. He came on and was like, you know what, I think I am 7'6".
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and I think that's an interesting point, considering that another team would scoop him up if the Celtics don't use that 15th spot in him. Like we said, it's not the most interesting thing in the world. It's fun preseason argument. I'd like to see Taco and Green because of the story, because I do think, you know, it's interesting watching him just play basketball, play the sport. But there's other stuff that I'm ultimately going to be far more concerned about, you know, in 2 weeks come the regular season. So it's a good fun preseason story right now. I'd like to see Taco and Green, as I just said, but other than that, I'm not terribly worried about it.
Well, if you want to see Taco again, they're playing my Orlando on Friday. We'll be back for that one. We'll be back for all 82 games. And all four of these preseason games on however long this team makes it in the playoffs this year. Now let's get back to the guys who are going to make this a playoff run or an early exit as it was last year. Right out of the gate today, I think everybody was thrilled to see this team get back to what they were doing 2 seasons ago with the excitement, energy, pace, and space, being able to be coached by Brad Stevens after all the drama, disdain, and you know, inconsistency last year. What did I say last year all the time? Inconsistency and something else that I can't remember because it's been so long now since this team exited the playoffs, and it's glad they're out of sight, out of mind. Terry Rozier was back hitting some tough layups, playing the pick and roll a little bit, making a few steals, but even that wasn't as noisy of a return as it could have been. So they got back to just doing what they need to do from a Celtics basketball perspective. And what do you know? Now that Stevens can finally coach the team again, we have his first big decision of the season to dig into. Robert Williams starts at center in this one over Enes Kanter. What did you make of that? Because I loved it.
Yeah, so obviously if you've listened to the show before, you know that I am a big Rob Williams fan, big Time Lord guy. I think he's got a lot of potential. Watching him in that tournament, his last year at A&M, the way he just dispatched Carolina in a tournament game was big for me. It showed me that, you know, he's capable of doing it when it really, really matters. And not that the NCAA tournament translates over into the pros always, you know, perfectly. But you look last year, and this guy obviously plays with a certain level of intensity, especially on the defensive end. I think it kind of ends up hurting him a little bit because of his intensity level. He jumps a lot like Karl Anthony Towns used to. He jumps at every pump fake. He always is trying to get that block, and he does end up with a lot of blocks. I mean, he had a couple nice ones tonight where he really sent it into the stands, and those are powerful. I think Stevens' decision to start him is not necessarily an indictment of the talent at big on the Celtics, but you've got a second-year guy who was pretty raw last year, didn't do a ton to prove himself, and he's starting. Obviously, it's a preseason game, so your young guys are going to play, but I think this move to start Robert Williams shows you that those within the Celtics organization do believe he has potential as well. He showed enough last year. He showed enough in the offseason to get that nod to play with that first-string team. Don't read too much into it because it is a preseason game. But I'm completely comfortable with Robert Williams getting looks and getting the full opportunity to start at five for this team.
What I loved about it is the fact that you can rotate in Enes Kanter fairly selectively. Now, it's very interesting because they had two main Kanter rotations in this game, one in the second quarter where he was getting heavy run into that frame, and then one in the second half toward the later end of the third quarter where he killed it. He was making big plays around the rim, had a three-point play posting up, and was just more comfortable going against that unit that he was against in that point in time than what he was going against in the second unit with Dwayne Bacon. Bismack Biyombo early in that third quarter was cutting them up to pieces in the pick and roll. And, you know, Cody Zeller and some of these other guys, Marvin Williams too. I mean, these aren't world-class bigs, and they were still, through Terry Rozier, through Dwayne Bacon, Devontae Graham, not world-class guards either, just able to slice the team up with straight-line drives, basic pick and rolls, a few flares here or there. But the Celtics were struggling mightily through the first and second quarters just to defend what might be the worst team in the NBA and just basic stuff that was being thrown at them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was very obvious. It was jumping off the screen. I don't know the exact numbers from last year in terms of the Celtics defense against the pick and roll, but I test, and I feel like you probably agree, they struggled against the pick and roll last year. They struggled with the stuff that looks like it should be easy, like the easy dump off or the easy kick to the three. Obviously, like I've been saying, first preseason game, and I know it's really easy to get too into it too fast because we've been waiting so long for Celtics basketball and obviously the environment with the team, especially this summer. In the last 3 years, actually. So, like, I'm not going to look at their defense against the pick and roll against the Charlotte Hornets in a preseason game and you know, freak out about it. But I think there is cause for concern. I think you bringing up Kanter is interesting because Keith Smith tweeted about it, and he was saying, do you think teams are going to throw Kanter and Kemba Walker in pick and roll just to attack that, or do you think they'll stay within their offense? Because I think – when you look at a guy like Kanter, a couple years ago you have Billy Donovan saying you can't play him. He's a good rebounder. He can score the basketball. He's a liability defensively, especially when teams go into their smaller lineups and they have guys that can, you know, play different parts of that pick and roll, and you've got bigs who can pass and bigs who can score and bigs who can shoot, and Kanter really struggles with that type of versatility. He struggles guarding it. So the pick and roll defense, while I'm not worried about it because it is a preseason game, something like that where you've got Kemba Walker, who's a below-average defender, and it's Kanter, who's a below-average defender, and you can put them in pick and roll. Bob, are you thinking that teams are going to attack that throughout the season or what?
It's startling how easily they were able to identify it and pick it apart again and again and again. And like I say, it's only going to get harder from here. there's going to be more energy exerted by teams on the offensive end once the season starts. And, you know, just come this Friday, they're playing a playoff team in Orlando from a year ago who has great skills, facilitators, and Marco Fultz.
Right. But Jonathan Isaac, I mean, I saw a clip of him yesterday taking the ball, taking it off the rim, going coast to coast. They've got some bigs that can move around, that can spread it out. And it'll be interesting to see if Cantor can really hang with it. And a guy like Kemba Walker, who we haven't talked about yet. Obviously, it's his debut on the parquet floor tonight. It'll be interesting to see how Brad handles that stuff. Because last year, even with a guy like Kyrie, Kyrie's a better defender than Kemba. And obviously, you have Al and Baines instead of, you know, Rob Williams and Enes Kanter back there playing the back end of that pick and roll defense. So it'll be something to watch. Tough defense tonight against the pick and roll, but I'm not freaking out about it.
Ultimately, though, once the second half came around in the later portion of that third quarter, by pairing him with Marcus Smart out there, who I think is going to have to tag along with Kanter quite a bit this year just to fill the gaps, help, all that stuff, and then Grant Williams pairing with him too out there, who we know has the stature of a good rebounder and plus defender coming out of Tennessee, with the size of Kanter beside him able to make up for his size deficiencies a little bit, that, you know, they're going to be able to help Kanter out a little bit, just depending on the lineups they put him in and who he's out there against. And Kanter ends this game a plus one, which after how bad he was in that first half, you'll take it. And he was a big part with that lineup where Edwards was hitting those three straight threes in the second half. And, you know, Grant was doing his thing too at that point after some early struggles. They found a way to make it work. And that's the thing. That's the theme of this show and what I hope is going to be the theme of this season, is that Stevens is just going to be able to coach. And that's going to overcome the talent losses they had and take us back to 15-16 with exceed expectations because of how they worked around their talent deficiencies.
Absolutely. And we've gotten off to the start tonight talking about a lot of new guys. We've been talking about Taco. We've been talking about, you know, Kemba a little bit, Enes Kanter. The stuff that I was watching the most tonight was the stuff that we've already seen. The three players I wanted to see most tonight were Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, because those three wings were the crux of the real issue with the team last year. Obviously, Terry Rozier and Kyrie, whatever you feel about that, Kyrie, you know, his stuff in the media, however you feel about that. I think one of the biggest issues that the team faced last year and the year before, at least before Hayward's injury, which was really early, but going into the season, the conversation surrounding it, is how do you play these three forwards who are all similar size? Hayward and Tatum, better shooters last year than Jaylen Brown was, but Jaylen Brown shot 40% from the line. So you've got these guys who can step out and shoot threes. They can play defense on the wing. They can score a bunch of different ways. How do you get all three of those guys involved? Tonight, Bob, obviously we saw Tatum really going for it. Gordon Hayward looked more aggressive. Jaylen Brown struggled a little bit. Was that part of your thought process coming in tonight, looking at those three, looking at the guys who'd already been there, or were you more interested in the new stuff and the Kemba Walkers of the world?
I was very interested to see, because I had a good conversation with Coach Nick before the season about how it was going to be different with Kemba compared to Kyrie, and he did a little video about that himself. He looked into it quite a bit, and what we're seeing right now is that the dribbling is that main difference. They're able to run sets very similar to what they did with Isaiah in those years, where he comes across the screens with momentum. You know, he's going to take handoffs. He's going to get moving off the ball quite a bit. And with that, they're going to be able to use the ball handling abilities of Jason Tatum, who looked very comfortable in the ball creating for himself early on. Had that sidestep three that I know you pointed out later. Yeah, he just looked much more comfortable on the ball. Jaylen Brown, I don't think I'm ever going to say that he looks comfortable on the ball in his career. I'm just not expecting it. But even he had a nice behind-the-back play against one of the Martin brothers there that he was able to get to the rim himself on. And there was very good cohesion between Kemba and the wings early on in this game. I mean, what was the first bucket of the game? Hayward getting on the ball and run the pick-and-roll with Williams that he caught way above his head to throw down the slam. I wanted to open the show with that, but again, technical difficulties. That's what I love about this team, because what was one of the big problems last year? You had four wings, one was always left out just because of minutes, and then, you know, two or three could have been left out because they weren't able to get on the ball as consistently and get the opportunities they needed. When Kemba is the point guard here, the way he's able to get off the ball, the way they're going to use the screens and movement with him by taking him on and off the ball, using motion, using speed and momentum to get him going downhill. The ball is going to be in the wings' hands a lot more, and it's going to help out Kemba and those guys a lot more on both ends of it.
Absolutely, I agree, because I think if you look at Kemba Walker's development, I don't think he was ever supposed to be a 30-point scorer in the NBA. You put him on a Charlotte team where you have to score those 30 points, you know, where you have to go for it, and that's what he did. So I think what you're going to see from him this year, and you saw it tonight, he's such a good he probes into the defense and kicks so well off of it. And it's not to say that Kyrie wasn't good at that, but Kyrie's a scorer first. Kyrie is a score first point guard. He's an isolation scoring point guard. And there was a palpable difference tonight just seeing the movement of wings on the perimeter around Kemba as opposed to what you saw last year from Kyrie. Because I think a lot of the times you saw a lot of players look at Kyrie and say, okay, he's going to isolate. He's going to get a bucket. So let me get out of the way. Now with Kemba Walker, he's more step back. He's more cutting. He's more, you know, getting the ball, coming around the screen. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to look a little bit different to the great benefit of guys like Jaylen Brown, you know, Tatum and Hayward, but especially Tatum and Hayward, because Tatum and Hayward are already so comfortable with the ball in their hands. When they're going to be getting the ball going downhill, you know, if Kemba's bringing the ball away and they can get the ball going downhill towards the rim, both those guys are really gifted scorers around the rim, and they're both comfortable enough to you know, pull it back out for a step back or to swing it and keep it going. So I'm excited to see how Kemba obviously plays himself. I'm sure we'll talk all season about, you know, crazy scoring nights, crazy Kemba nights. But I'm more excited to see how he gets these wings involved and to see how Tatum and Hayward really capitalize on it.
Well, let's look at the dynamic of the box score in the end, because we kind of memorized what the box scores would look like last year.
Right.
Kyrie was leading the way. He was filling the stats as he needed to, and he did play well. But you'd be missing one or two wings. Tonight, Kemba finishes 3-7 with points is missing here.
12 points.
You know, Gordon Hayward gets his 4-10. Had a very hot start. Didn't finish as well. Had an elbow injury that we got hit onto a little bit. It looked like he was having some funky feelings there with ice and stuff and talking with the trainers. He had 9 points. Tatum was sensational, 8-14. He's really the story of this game, how he just looked different.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit.
And he gets his 20. And Brown gets 6. A little bit less minutes there, but, you know, with 3 or 4 wings, there's going to be someone who falls short on that end. And then Marcus Smart's going to be that 4th wing at this point, 0-4, 0 points.
I'm not worried about Smart.
It's at least a little more even across the board there. None of those guys are killing it.
No, and take Smart out of that for me right in this conversation, because I don't worry about Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I know when it's money time, I know what Marcus Smart we're getting. Jaylen Brown, he got a quick hook tonight, which if you've been listening to this show for the past 4 years, when I was calling in 3 years ago and since I've been hosting the last couple seasons, I've complained about the quick hook that Jaylen Brown often gets. Preseason game, it is what it is. I'd like to see him, you know, play with the starters a little bit more, because I think he is the best on-ball defender on the team. I think he is the best probably wing defender. But those two guys, I mean, Hayward played really well in the first quarter. There was that shot of him running back down the court with that big grin on his face, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. Obviously, there was a level of happiness when he and Kyrie were both brought to Boston. You've got the classic press conference moment where they look at each other and smile. It's about to be crazy, G. But really, since then, we haven't seen a lot of happiness on Gordon Hayward's face. And it is what it is. Millionaires play basketball. They get paid. Happiness is, you know, however you feel about that. But to see him really enjoy playing basketball and play the aggressive style we saw him play in Utah, it makes you think that can add another dimension to this team, because when you bring that guy in, you're signing a max player, an all-star player, and you expect him to be really taking on a lot of the load, and that never happened. So we're going to get to see Hayward do that. More importantly, though, I was talking to Bob a couple days ago, and I said, I think someone is going to come emerge as the best player on this team, and I predicted he was either going to be Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. This is an over-exaggeration to tonight, but the way Jason Tatum was scoring, Bob, the threes and layups, you know, shooting the threes when he has it, not hesitating as he has the past two seasons, really just pulling those shots and getting to the rim the way he was, we saw an aggressiveness and a complete control from Tatum that I don't think we've seen thus far. What do you see from him tonight that you can, you know, take a little bit from moving forward?
It showed the awareness of what he was talking about last season and even during this offseason, that he was going to have to get more free throws. he was going to have to be moving toward the rim more often. And he did end up getting 3 free throws tonight, which was a hearty amount, among Kemba with 4. And Enes Kanter getting 5 was really refreshing as well. You know, Al Horford wasn't a big free throw guy himself. So it's nice to see a little difference there in that sense too. But from Tatum, 3s and layups. He said it at media day. That's what he's going to be doing this year. He's going to be taking the efficient approach in terms of shot selection. When we looked at the shot chart, I think it was toward the end of the third quarter, he only had 2 mid-range shots. I think he split those. And beside that, it was getting to the rim and taking 3-point shots. He finished 3 of 8 from outside, which is fine. And had a just rock-solid night. Made the most of those minutes. I think he felt very comfortable. Bigger. The shoulders are much bigger, too. So he's going to be able to bang inside on offense and on the defensive end of things. You can't be anything but thrilled about what he was showing out there, at least from an approach standpoint, because part of the reason that the team got off to that 10-10 rocky start last year is that you had guys playing outside of the system who were capable of playing fully within it.
I agree.
Now look at this team. Kanter doesn't play fully within the system, but right now he's not capable of doing anything else.
Yeah. From Tatum, Tatum got thrown into the action 5 minutes into his career. You know, he became the, you know, second or third option on a team that was the number one seed in the East for the majority of his season until Kyrie got hurt 2 years ago. So he's been thrown to the fire. He's been thrown to the wolves. He gets it. Seeing the way he was playing tonight really showed me a different level of mentality. I watched a video of Tatum working out with Bradley Beal this offseason. And the workouts look different. There's a different level of intensity. And I think what you're seeing is every time those young guys go play for Team USA, whether it's the Olympics or FIBA, there's a different level. They come back with a different level. I think you've seen it. That 2014 team is legendary with Curry, Harden, Kyrie, Kate, and all of them have been on, you know, just unrealistic runs since. So I think we're seeing a guy, you know, grow up in a way. He's only 21 still, but this is his third year in the league. He's had a whole summer playing with pros overseas. I think we're going to see a guy who, playing within that system, taking those threes and layups, is going to become super efficient because he's good at both. He's a great scorer at the rim. He can really shoot the three. I think his best skill is still his mid-range because of his footwork and his length, and he can shoot over people. It's just about knowing when to get in that bag and when to score efficiently around it.
And we didn't want to become sports TMZ last year, but something stuck out to me with Jackie McMullins on that new Hoop Collective podcast, and she was talking about the impact of, you know, having a new child last season, living in the same apartment complex as the mom, but not being together. We don't consider that off the court stuff a lot. We just had this conversation with Kyrie earlier today on Dome Theory, our new podcast that me and Taylor are on. On the Bobcast stream here on CLNS Media, had to throw that quick plug in. Off the court stuff's going to play some role with these guys too. And with all the stuff that was happening in the locker room last year, throw in what was happening off the court for him and then taking a step back from his rookie success, it stands to reason that he was going to have some trouble recreating what he was doing the rookie year.
Absolutely. And all season long, you heard this narrative that Jason Tatum was Kyrie's only friend on the team. Those are the two Duke guys. They were the friends on the team, yada, yada, yada. This offseason, Kyrie fires the agent that he and Tatum were both signed to, signed somewhere else. And now Tatum, you know, it's only his third season, but those guys like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, he's been here. He's been here. He is one of the Celtics that, you know, 2 playoff runs deep now, 2 of the more turmoil-filled seasons we've experienced as Celtics fans. He's been through a lot on this team, and in a way, it's not necessarily his team, but he's been one of the staples in some really tough games. So I think there's a level of responsibility that's going to be bestowed upon him this year that he's going to meet. And I'm very excited to see Jason Tatum, his evolution this season. I'm a bigger Jaylen Brown fan, always have been. Jaylen Brown's one of my favorite players in the NBA. But if I had to guess right now, if that prediction, that bold prediction I made, the saying one of those two guys is going to be the best player on the team by the end of the year, I've got to be leaning Tatum.
The way the defense played tonight, they're going to need points from as many we're still trying to get the preseason voices together here. They're going to need points from as many places as possible on every single night with what they're giving up on the defensive end after they score their points on the front end. They got out to a pretty good lead in this game, and it all fell apart toward the end of that second quarter, where P.J. Washington, their first-round pick, was looking really good for them, hitting three-pointers, getting in the roll with Rozier on that last possession, and they scored on five of their six last possessions to end that half, just slicing Boston apart in the pick-and-roll, finally knocking down the open threes that they were finding earlier in this game. So Boston had to come out. Initially, they went to Semi Ojeleye and Wanamaker in the second level of the rotation. But finally, deeper into the third quarter, they say, all right, let's let Grant Williams loose. Let's let Carson Edwards loose. And when Edwards hit the floor, he got an ovation.
Electricity.
That made me feel like Taco was coming out at that point.
Electricity.
And he brought it.
Whether it's because of the number four and the short stature or whatever, or his summer league performance, Carson Edwards can ball. I mean, he came out, hit three threes almost immediately. He hit two back-to-back immediately. And they're quick trigger. The like ball's hitting his
it
hands and he's pulling. So, however you feel about the guy, going back to March Madness, I mean, he's a bucket getter. Like, certified bucket getter, and he did it again tonight. Whether that's going to work against, you know, high-level NBA defense that's not summer league, that's not preseason, I can't say, but right now I feel extremely optimistic about Carson Edwards.
How long will it be before Weird Celtics Twitter puts the sunglasses on him?
I don't know about the sunglasses, but Weird Celtics Twitter is already obsessed with his thighs. Tommy Heinsohn said, you know, he's shaping up to be – not shaping up to be, but he's the kind of guy that you can, you know, have some six-man-of-the-year conversation with the way he can score. The hype around this kid is huge for being a second-round pick. But he's done nothing to show me he can't live up to it.
He's great. He's a spark plug off that bench. He looks for a shot. He lets it go. And he has range out there from three-point land. He airballed one that he tried to step outside the line a little too deep for. But that was all part of the process tonight. I wasn't thrilled with how Grant played, 2-7. But he goes plus 14, 9 rebounds. It looks like he was able to help Cantor when he went out there. And that looks like an interesting pairing for the team, as a matter of fact. Because those guys can both run the floor, they can pass to each other in the post, and they actually had a very great sequence where the shot clock was running out and Cantor was able to angle himself to find Grant underneath. So that was definitely the rotation that Grant seemed to fit the best in, with Cantor there off the bench. And, you know, they're going to need to produce second unit points somehow, and moving Cantor to the bench in rotation with Smart, he was able to catch some nice passes in the pick and roll early on with him, so that produced a little bit. Cantor ended with 11. Edwards finishes with 11 himself off the bench, and you get 8 from Wanamaker as well. That's more than I expected from the bench as a whole today.
100%. Obviously, they're going to get more opportunity because it is a preseason game. The thing about Grant Williams is, you know, he's endeared by Celtics Twitter. You know, we love him. He doesn't do anything flashy, but like you said, when you compare him with a guy like Cantor, Cantor's a very gifted offensive player, and he's a good rebounder. Not good on defense. Grant will be an above-average defender. The way he plays, Grant's a guy that's who I wish Al Horford would have been here for. So you learn – he's not the same size as Al Horford, but, you know, that similar, like, just, like, positional defense, captaining a defense. I think Grant, paired with Cantor – can kind of take some of that defensive responsibility, and Cantor can kind of take some of that offensive responsibility, where you compare those kind of guys. Grant was open for some corner threes tonight that I wish he had knocked down. Obviously, first game on an NBA court, not going to get ahead of myself because those will start to fall. And when they do, he's going to be a special player. Not necessarily in the sense, you know, the Jason Tatum where he's going to go out there and ooh and ah you. He just is going to do what he's supposed to. And as a rookie, that's what you need, especially on this team where it's been so tough for guys to understand their roles for a couple years now. A guy like that who's willing to just do the dirty work, just do what you're supposed to, and be in the right spot when you're supposed to be, is going to be huge for this team. And like you said earlier when you said maybe Brad Stevens can just get back to coaching basketball, having guys that just want to play basketball, that want to be coached, not to say that anyone didn't want to be coached, but it's a little bit different when you have a talent like Kyrie. When you've got these guys who are just out there ready to do what the coach needs them to, I think that's going to be a big help as well.
207, we see you. We see all you out there listening, too, on BTR. If you want to hear it the next day, you can get it on iTunes, Spotify, all that. It's the Celtics postgame show. We've been going for 10 years now. We get a whole cast back from Celtics Blog and other places. returnees like Snotty Drippin. Joe Choquette is here. We're all back for the most part with some new additions for this season. We're going to be adding visual components, so stay tuned for that. And for now, you already know the number from 10 years of it, 347-215-7771. Hold tight, 207. We're going to run a quick ad and be back. Kemba Walker's first game, I want to dig deeper into that, as well as the return of Terry Rozier.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
And with that, we're back. We're going to take a quick call here. 207 is on the line. If you want to jump in behind them, 347-215-7771 is your number. Who do we got here?
It's Blair.
What's up, Blair? How'd you feel about tonight's game?
It's good, man. It's early. We're not even to Super Bowl yet, and we're hitting basketball preseason. I was like, holy cow. Patriots haven't even got to Super Bowl, and I have faith in them. We're going to Super Bowl for Patriots, but I'll talk about Celtics. I want to ask you guys, because you guys can answer this. Now, Taco Fall's on the bench. He comes out of the game. I love it. I see guys in little costume or in little cool outfits of Taco outfits. Now, I know he's not going to start right on the roster to start the regular season when it starts off, because he's going to be in Portland, Maine, right? He's going to be playing for the
That's still up in the air right now.
So he could be starting week one, of the regular season. We just don't know yet. They have to see what the roster looks like.
Absolutely, and see how he plays in these next couple games.
Yep, and I was going to ask you guys, what is the what's the thing on Spotify? How do I listen to you guys when I'm done with the call?
So you're just going to look up CLNS Media Celtics postgame show, and it uploads every night after we do a show. It'll upload as a podcast the next day.
Oh, so it's not live.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's CNSL Radio?
Yeah, CLNS Media.
Okay, CNS Media. Okay, cool. Anyways, I want to keep on going with the Celtics. Man, we had a good lead. They let it go. It was a one-point game win, They need to get a bigger lead on that team. We have a better team. Maybe play Taco Fall a little bit more. I don't know. I wanted to see him come in earlier, but the coach sat him on the bench the whole game where he could have played at least the first, second quarter, and maybe the third quarter. I don't know why they're benching him. He's over 7 foot tall. He could get to the rim. You saw him dunk. He barely has to jump to the rim to dunk. So answer that for me, would you?
We will. And my answer is that I think that's where people start to lose their minds a little bit. I want to have him on the roster for sure. There's no feasible way that he ends up breaking the rotation this year. He's a project, and at the very least, he's a really fun guy to come on and play at the end of these games. He's not going to be making an impact of any sort. If there's one situation that Taco's going to come in and make an impact for, it's 3 seconds on the clock, final inbounds play. You're going to plant him right in front of the inbounder and make sure that guy can't throw it anywhere out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, he's a cool guy to take a flyer on because of the size. And that's not to discount his basketball skill because, as I've said and as we've seen, he's a skilled basketball player. It's just I don't know if he's an NBA basketball player right now. But, Blair, thanks for the call. We're going to stay on the call lines. 339, what do you have for us? 339? Just listen. All right, so moving on from there, you wanted to talk about Kemba. Big night for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, what was your first impression of him?
So the thing about Kemba is he went to UConn, obviously growing up in New England. You keep an eye on UConn. So 2011, he has that crazy run. So you keep tabs on him. Evolves into this all-star player in Charlotte. Initially going into the offseason, everybody knew Kyrie was out of here. I hated that. Kyrie's one of my favorite players. Kemba Walker. You know, the rumors start, all of a sudden it looks like more and more and more of a reality that he's going to be a Celtic. Signs of the Celtics and what, like, initial reaction is, okay, they're back a playoff team, they're back top half of the East, they're fine. watching him tonight, I'm not going to take a ton from it. There's just a different bounce in his game that's so different than Kyrie's game that I think will be really beneficial for this team. The way it's simply that he just probes and kicks and passes better than Kyrie does, and I think he can run more of a pure point guard better than Kyrie does because there's not that need for him to get to the rim all the time in ISO score, despite how fun that was to watch Kyrie and how important it was to this team when they couldn't get anything else going. I think Kemba is an elite-level player who's also really good at fitting in the system, and that's going to be huge for this team.
And what he's stated so far is that he's going to have to earn his position in this team no matter what it is. And that's kind of the style with which he approached this first game. He was letting Hayward take the reins early on, and that was hugely beneficial for Hayward. Tatum was able to get his time on the ball, and they were able to do with that what they were early on in that game. I thought they started this so strong. The thing about preseason and what makes it so unsatisfying is you get a start like that, you start breaking into the lower levels of the rotation, and you never really get back to that initial rotation.
Right.
You just kind of keep diving deeper and deeper and deeper. So the initial minutes that he shared, not a ton from his scoring. He wasn't taking many shots inside. You saw a few of those mid-rangers that he loves. He hit a three early in the game on the right wing for his first points, and didn't end up having that big of an offensive night. But the play I love, all those wings spread the floor far and wide. You got Rob throwing around a little bit in those early minutes, and he gets out to the left side of the paint, shows the ball a little bit, drew some guys in, and kicked it right out to Hayward for a nice three-pointer there. That's the connectivity with those wings that is going to be so crucial to tapping the full potential of this team. Because, you know, our buddy Gilman said it out there when we were watching the game. Me and Taylor are here doing post-game together, which we don't usually get to do. The defense is going to stink all year long, is what he said to me. And you just got to accept it. And they're going to have to be the best offensive team they can be to win these shootouts. And I know it's preseason, Taylor, but considering how this was looking through the middle portions of this game, the fact that they sit here with a win at the end of the night,
right.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they competed hard and they scored what they needed to. Kemba, you see it in little glimpses in a game like tonight where he's running full speed in transition. All of a sudden, he just pulls up from three and it looks like nothing. It looks like the easiest thing in the world. Or he pulls a big with him, you know, one half step back, brings his shoulders up, a little hesitation movement. All of a sudden, he shoots by him like, you know, a bullet. So we're gonna see a million highlights from Kemba Walker this year. Nothing from tonight told me anything I didn't know about him or told me anything I thought I should know about him for this upcoming season. I'm excited for him. And you just – because you know he's capable of going off. You know he's capable of going off, but based on everything he said, earning his spot, wanting to play within the system, you know, letting Brad coach, if he can just stick where he needs to and then explode when they need him to, that's going to be huge. That's what all-star players do. That's what these max players do. That's why he got the big contract from the Celtics and not the Hornets.
Malik Monk sat this game out. Celtics were missing Daniel Tice, Romeo Langford. Langford's still a guy. We've heard from him, but we haven't gotten to see him play yet. And it doesn't seem like he's going to play in this preseason, whether that's from an injury or the fact that they're still reconstructing his shot. So we saw Carson Williams balling out there. Grant Williams did his thing. Tremont Waters had that nice pass to Javonte Green in transition. Not a crazy night from him in his own right, but, you know, that's one of your two-way guys. But the top pick on the Celtics draft board, Langford, is out here nicking with his shot. He had the paddle. He's still working with that finger. We talked about it a lot this week, me and you, in the halls of Newhouse, about his shot development. He's coming out of college, and it feels like they are trying to perfect his shot, make adjustments, and reform whatever it is that was wrong with it there in college, whether it had to do with the finger injury or not. He hasn't been able to step on the court, and we'll see on Friday if he's able to get out there. But it looks like he's going to just sit out this preseason. At least that's what it's looked like so far as he tries to perfect that, and we're not going to get to see him at all.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because besides being just the number one pick for the Celtics' first-round pick this year, there were flashes at Indiana of him being a really good player. I mean, he was a highly recruited player who stayed home to go to the school closest, you know, to Indiana. And IU's a program that growing up around IU, you want to go to IU. I think it's interesting to think about what they're doing with his shot. Obviously, I assume it's something with a thumb flick. They've had the paddle on his left hand. A lot of focus on keeping that left hand flat. I just want to see the guy play. we haven't gotten to see him play with the Celtics really in any capacity. There was all the, you know, the Instagram stories, the Snapchat stories, the Twitter, the social media interaction with other rookies, with Taco, with Carson, with Grant. And it seems like these guys are, you know, so close. Tonight we get to see all them play except him. And you kind of take a step back and like, oh, he's not even out here. That's the worst part, because he couldn't even play. How do you feel about the pick? I know a lot of people were disappointed they took Langford in the mid first round, but I thought he was the most talented, the most upside, the best player available at that point. It's a weird draft pick where the Celtics took him. I wish we had gotten to see him play tonight. I hope we get to see him play in the preseason. Whether or not that happens is, you know, up in the air. I think that's just what it comes down to. It's disappointing that he's not available for us to see because we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and it might end up being that redshirt kind of year that we've become accustomed to with the Philadelphia 76ers for Langford here. Can't have a problem with that pick, but you know the territory you get into when you pick a guy like that with the shot concerns and injuries. You know, that's what they're saying for right now, is that this is an injury thing. We'll see where that goes. Tice was out tonight. And it's interesting because we opened the show talking about that Williams adjustment. I almost wonder if it could be Tice in that starting position spot. We know how much Stevens loves Tice. He's able to spread the floor, so there'd be a fully spaced out starting five. And he runs the floor. And one thing that really stuck out to me from Stevens this summer is that he said the motions, the interaction that Kemba was able to produce with Cody Zeller in Charlotte, he sees that being repeatable with Daniel Tice. And Tice was sensational last year. I'm not sure he's going to be able to bang with starting centers, but I'm very interested to see how he mixes up the center dynamic that looked so bad for stretches of tonight. Because he was great his rookie year, struggled returning from the knee surgery last year, but he's shown to just be a great fit in the system, and it might end up being a very key move that they kept him around this summer.
100%. It's scary sometimes when you think about the back end of that defense. Without two seasons, they have been the backbone of the defense. I think Robert Williams has more potential than Tice. I think he's a much better athlete. I think he's got better defensive potential. I think he's got better offensive potential. But Tice has done it for 3 years, and he's the guy who's been out there doing it. So it's important for him to get healthy and to play well. There were some times last year where he got killed by us on the internet. He was playing really bad, and his defense against the pick and roll, I believe it was one of the Houston games last year where he was just getting murdered in the pick and roll. That doesn't make me feel great heading into this upcoming season without fans in Horford. But the thing is, he's still a relatively young guy. I mean, 25-year-old rookie, so, you know, a little bit older now. He's just got to play well, because at this point, he is the vet. He's the veteran center, and he has to play well because of it, period. He's the veteran center. He has to play like it.
And a doctor is what kept him out tonight. I don't know if they just used the biggest word possible to just keep us from understanding what they're talking about, but that's what connects the hip to the leg. We'll see where that goes. I don't think they would have just sat Tice out of this game for any old reason. Langford's a different story. We'll see what happens. That seems like a pretty important muscle right there for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. I don't know the adductor muscle. I don't know how severe it is. I don't know how severe Tice's injury is. All I know is that he's been able to kind of be that third-string center for a couple seasons now. And now it might be time for him to be the first-string center. And I don't know if he's ready for that.
He's looked sharp. The front line is definitely what I'm concerned about, and that's where he did get himself into trouble last year, was going into those matchups when he had to. We'll see what they're able to do with him when it comes to mixing up that rotation now. And how involved does Williams remain in there? Poirier, he played a little bit tonight. Looked like he could handle some pick-and-roll defense to a small degree, but didn't get enough run for me to get a full read on him. And did anything stand out in particular with him?
No.
All right, there you have it. So we're into the last 5 minutes of the show here. If you want to call in, leave some last-minute thoughts. 347-215-7771 is your number. If you want to kick it back to Friday night, if you're getting to bed early, you know you can listen to this on demand on Spotify, iTunes. All you got to do is go on any one of those platforms that you love. iHeartRadio is a big one, I hear. Celtics postgame show. We're the most consistent Celtics postgame show on the internet, and now the TV and radio have been in such a flux when it comes to programming. 10 years now, the Celtics postgame show. I don't think you've seen any more consistent of an incarnation of a Celtics postgame show than this one right here. Lots of exciting things going on at CLNS Media as a whole. You can, of course, watch all the locker room videos that you need up there. And we're powered by Bet Online, of course. And, you know, you heard the ad on that. You can go get 50% off your first deposit with the code CLNS. I'll kick it. I'll punt it to you on this NFL Sunday, Taylor. Any last topics you want to hit on that you think we missed here?
I don't have anything huge. I think what will be important to this Celtics season is seeing that the cohesion off the court translates on. I don't think there was a ton of bad blood in that locker room last year. I really don't, between players. I just don't think it worked on the court. Kyrie said it, that he was fine with those guys as people. It just didn't work. Marcus Smart defended Kyrie this offseason. And obviously, I talk about Kyrie a lot because I'm still a Kyrie fan. We'll get that out of the way. If you're new to CLNS, I like Kyrie and I like LeBron. Love the Celtics, but I'm sorry. I think it's important to see that type of cohesion translate to the floor, because we've seen what happens when it works. That last IT season, that team rode for each other on and off the court, and we had those legendary, legendary moments from that team. I just want a team that goes and gives it their all, and it doesn't – what I don't want is last year. Last year was one of the most exhausting seasons as a Celtics fan that I've experienced in my, you know, two decades. There was always a new issue, whether it was on the court or in the media. And what I'm looking for mostly from this team is good basketball and just a solid environment. I just want to have one season again where it's like, okay, Celtics basketball. Tune in every couple nights a week. Do our thing. Make a playoff run. No crazy media tornadoes surrounding the team anymore.
Yeah, and I think tonight showed that that's going to come in spurts and waves. Depending on the matchup, there's going to be some teams they go against. Clippers probably being one of them and a few others that just have so much offensive firepower and so much versatility at multiple positions that their defense just isn't going to be able to keep up in those matchups, no matter what string Stevens tries to pull. The hope is that they find rotations, matchups, all those things to, at least on a macro level, balance things out on this team and make sure they're not one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. And tonight on the whole, I feel like they were able to do that here. It shored up in certain segments against different lineups that Charlotte throwed against them enough so that they could win the game, only allow 106 points. After giving up 64 in the first half, that's good. It's different because you get to the back levels of a preseason team, and we're going to have to see what this looks like when opening night comes around, which is still over 50 nights away. So we're starting early here, but there's still a long way to wait until the real games arrive, and I'm sure you guys will be back once those do. We're getting our warm-up here, and until Friday, that'll be it for this show right here. This is the Celtics post-game show. I'm Bobby Manning, back for another season, directing the program. Taylor McLeod has been a huge part of it here as well, and he was my co-host tonight. So whoever is back on Friday, we'll let you know in short order. Follow at CLNS Media. I'm at Real Bob Manning. That is at TDMCLD.
TDMCLD.
There it is. Good night, everybody. Celtics win 107-106. They're up next against the Orlando Magic Friday night.
Peace.